So all of a sudden, there is this phase which slowly shows that, okay, things are all over the place right now, and we are not really restricted to the area of focus that we agreed upon.
Hi, my name is Ronald Santiago, and I'm the founder of Experiment Nation. On today's episode, we have Jyoti Malik, the founder of Blue Bagels, and she shares with us insights on running a purposeful CRO program, unconventional research methods, and the importance of adaptive roadmaps. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey, Experiment Nation, it is Tracy, and I am joined today by an awesome guest. You may have heard of her before.
Self-proclaimed CRO mama, Jyoti Malik.
She is the founder of Blue Bagels. And Blue Bagels, I'm sure, Jyoti, you're going to tell us a bit more about it, but they are a purpose-driven CRO agency that works with purpose-driven brands. Jyoti, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tracy. So happy to be here.
Yes, I get your Instagram ads all the time. So we had a brief coffee chat kind of before this, and I absolutely loved speaking with you. And I think it would be really nice to have our listeners kind of get a look into behind the scenes of what you do, because you are doing some great work for some great brands.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love it. Well, first big question, I'm sure you get this all the time. Why Blue Bagels? What was the inspiration behind the name?
Yes, I actually get asked this a lot of times. And my primary answer is that because I like food a lot, I'm a big time foodie. And this was pretty clear that, okay, this has to be something with respect to food, because of course, it's very memorable for everyone when a very lovable name is there for a category that we all like, right?
Yes.
And yeah, so that's how the bagels came in. And blue we added because I personally like the color blue, and it kind of felt cute, to be honest. No science as such, no psychology as such, it just felt cute.
I was prepared for this big philosophical answer, but this is even better. I love it. So now we're going to be talking about the P word a lot here, purpose. And this comes up a lot in your branding for Blue Bagels. And I really am interested in knowing what led you to focusing your agency on this concept of purpose.
Okay, so I'm very spiritual personally. Mm-hmm. I have, so whatever I do, I now wanted to be leading somewhere, helping someone, the planet, or somehow be contented after performing something, you know. And in the past 10 years, of course, I was finding the main value behind whatever I'm going to do. I have worked for agencies. I have worked for brands. I think working in this digital ecosystem, it's very easy to really flow with the flow, right? And at the end of the day, it is super, you can find yourself lost that, okay, what am I finally, am I really satisfied with what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. I think purpose-driven brands working for this specific niche is where I'm trying to satisfy my soul, my spiritual soul. And that, okay, with work, I'm also able to enable someone's life, someone's business, or some value to become better in some way or the other. So that's the primary objective of it.
Yeah. And that resonates a lot with me and maybe for a lot of our listeners. You mentioned that you've worked for agencies before, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but there have been times when I was working at an agency, I would be working with a client who maybe sells a product or service that goes against my values, or I just, you know, I worried that it was a product that was bringing harm into society. So I love that you are kind of leading with your values, it seems like, and you can choose work a lot easier. And I would say it also attracts like-minded brands to you. Have you found that?
Actually, yes, I completely agree, because right off the bat, you are able to find something which is common. You're already sharing a big core value with the other person, with the other brand already, right? So automatically there is one common thing where you can start connecting, and then of course conversation leads from there. And you rightly said, actually the realization has been from my experience in the agencies and other brands, wherein I was like, but okay, why are we doing this? And do I really want to do this and grow this brand for whatever XYZ reason? So I think it all comes down from all those experiences and having this final realization that, okay, ultimately I have to satisfy my craving of doing something good through my work. And yes, this is how I think it can be done.
That's great. That's great. I love that. Now, kind of moving away from the more philosophical perspective or the spiritual perspective, I think purpose is also really important to have in a CRO program or a CRO strategy, because if you're not living with intention or purpose, you don't know what to focus on. You're going to be distracted by so many different ideas and different problems. So how do you personally make sure that your CRO programs are led with purpose and focusing on the right things?
Okay. For us, it starts with the kickoff of the project itself, right? Every client is different. Every client has a different experience and expectations, the stage where they are at, right? So in the kickoff call itself, we try to educate the client and also collaborate together to identify this purpose together. It's not us who define it really, but to collaboratively with the client, we do it. So essentially we try to understand from them, okay, what is your awareness level, first of all, with the experimentation program. We try to educate them that it is, what should be the North Star metric for you, how the testing process is going to happen, the role of learning in the entire process, etc., right? And while educating the client with all of that, we get to know some inputs on what is the risk-taking capacity of the client, what level of potential they want to have in terms of experimentation versus, you know, things which can be directly implemented, the pace with which they want to move, etc. So we devise our program basis that discussion, interactive discussion, wherein we understand the business objectives as well. And from there on, we define the purpose of a project, which is very well customized for that project and not really is replicable for any other project. So that's how we do it.
Yeah, that's, and I noticed this was actually on your website as well, where it's not a one size fits all approach. That's something that I believe very strongly about as well as many other optimizers. I think it could be very frustrating if you're hiring on a new agency and you kind of get served this strategy that may have worked for another brand and you're just kind of being treated like a one size fits all. So I love that you actually, from the beginning of the engagement, try to find out what is most important to this client and work backwards from there. Now, kind of on the flip side, how can you tell if a CRO program is not focused on the right things, that it's kind of going off the rails and it's lost the thread a bit? What are those signs?
Oh yeah, this becomes very interesting whenever it happens, you know. So there are scenarios in which client would want to, let's say, run and not walk. And in those scenarios, what will happen is a side of the roadmap that we have laid out, depending upon from our research, client will also come up with 10 other things that, okay, let's test this, let's implement this, let's design this. This is the website that they are doing something similar, and I would want to see the design of that and all of that. So all of a sudden, there is this phase which slowly shows that, okay, things are all over the place right now, and we are not really restricted to the area of focus that we agreed upon.
This is Roma Santiago from Experiment Nation. Every week, we share interviews with and conference sessions by our favorite conversion rate optimizers from around the world. So if you like this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. It helps us a bunch. Now back to the episode.
So when is this sign, of course, where we realize that, okay, things are going off track? Other aspect is where the client is super attentive towards just one area and that slows down the velocity actually. So in those scenarios, we then go back to the client saying that, you know what, you can also run multiple experiments on the other areas of the website, and all of it can happen simultaneously. This will lead us more learnings because your data supports these many experiments simultaneously and all that. So in this scenario also, we get to know that, okay, things are not going as expected. Things are off rail, and we need to get back on track then. Then there are some scenarios with states that, for example, client will say, okay, so your audit has been great, and I don't have patience to do testing. So I'm launching a new theme, you know, and it will accommodate all the learnings that you have pointed out. So no testing whatsoever is seen in the future in that case. You know, they will change the entire, they are ready to change the entire website. So these are the big things which we come across very often and very early in the engagement itself. And then we again hold client and, you know, have a healthy discussion, educate them what is important, what can be directly implemented. So we advocate bid time that not everything needs to be tested, of course, depending upon the traffic volume, depending upon the pace, etc. We always try to divide things into buckets. Things which can be directly implemented and are must-dos, not having a big risk of testing them. And there are bolder, bigger things which we will always want to test. And depending upon the scale of the client, we see if it is the ratio of 80-20 or 50-50 or how we want to move ahead in every given month.
You said so many good things there, and these are all challenges that come up myself when I'm looking at a running a new program. One thing that you called out was sometimes the client wants to run when they should be walking. How can you tell when a client should be walking versus when they're ready to run?
I think the volume of traffic and transactions on their website is the primary indicator of telling that, right? That is one. Second aspect would also be what level of data they're already collecting. It is not sufficient that, okay, you have these many sessions and you're getting these many transactions or leads, etc., so you are ready. No, you also have to see what other level of data you have been able to collect and what is the amplitude of those things, right? If the client has never done a survey in their life, if the client is not tracking micro conversions or the events, etc., then irrespective of them getting millions of traffic every day, let's first start collecting the data and dive from there, right? So our audit, of course, accommodates whatever data is getting tracked right now, but what we also focus on is what more should be tracked. And basis that, then we devise that, okay, if you're ready to run or you have to first start walking.
Totally. And I'm sure it's not just tracking for the sake of tracking. It's tracking to answer big questions. And to me, if a client isn't asking big questions about their site visitors' behaviors, that kind of says to me, well, you're not quite ready to run because you're not really asking questions that will get you to that next step. I don't know if you find that as well.
Yeah, exactly. This also comes down to another example. For example, there is this practice that, okay, we launch visitor surveys. We understand about the user's hesitation of making a purchase, right? But the conditions behind that, what all, I mean, one aspect is that you are setting up one blanket rule that, okay, there is just one survey popping up after a certain threshold or trigger point, then that's about it. But we try to further dive down on it and understand that, okay, if the majority of the drop-off is happening on cart, for example, and people are not ready to move ahead on the checkout, addition of carts are happening, then our visitor survey will speak to that audience who is abandoning the cart, and not necessarily in the format of showing a pop-up on the website itself, right? You can also reach out to your cart abandoners through email and other stuff. What I'm trying to say is that multiple aspects and layers of tracking is really important for us to determine the level of intensity of focus. Again, coming back to the same point, on product pages these days, everybody is having a video, accordions, and whatnot. Like, they have everything in place. But which element is how important for driving conversions? That you will never get to know merely by tracking top level metrics, right?
Yes. So, totally. I'm in buried in PDP land today. I'm working on a lot of PDP optimization right now, and I see a lot of that. I feel a lot of that. I'm sure a lot of listeners feel that. And I actually think this is a good thing to talk about, because there, you said something else that really stood out to me. And it was, you know, are you focusing on all these different things, or are you focusing on one specific thing? What's the balance to strike? Because I know some agencies like to focus on one single metric that's on fire and kind of work from there, whereas other agencies like to work on a breadth of different issues and from there, you know, try to make impact across the board. Where does Blue Bagels kind of fit into that philosophy?
For us, the larger approach has been the latter approach, in which we identify the multiple areas of problems, and then we cater to them and incorporate those in our testing roadmap rather than just chasing one metric on fire. Yeah. Having said that, if the client's website is such that there is one hero product, then of course we put most of our energy in driving the sales up for that hero product. But there are scenarios wherein the website's catalog itself is so huge and there is not just one problem on the website, but there are many problems. In those scenarios, we don't just pick one of those. We include all of those problems and ideate over solving each of them. And then each of those problems have their own defined goal and objectives as the success metrics.
That's great. No, that's awesome. Now, I'm sure that when you start a program, you don't just kind of go in with ideas, like random ideas. I'm sure that, you know, Blue Bagels does your own forms of research. Do you have any kind of unconventional forms of research that bring you to test ideation?
Unconventional. Oh, interesting. I think what I've not been hearing a lot or see a lot on LinkedIn and the CRO community is the utilization of review mining.
Yes.
We do tons of it. I mean, we do the research from almost 10 plus data sources. And review mining plays a huge role, a big, big role in what we do. Might not be super unconventional, but this is what really drives our other strategies when we try to stitch the insights from review mining with other sources. Yes. The second aspect that we do is we also run a lot of polls. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there is no one way to solve any problem, right? There are multiple ways of solutioning towards that. And of course, there are other ways to do it, that you run an ABN test, you run multivariate test, etc., etc. But even to boil down your approach to those levels, you still will have a lot of ideas around solving that single one problem. Right. So we also do a lot of polling in order to understand the customer sentiments, the priority of some element of a series of factors, for example, in order to seek their preference in terms of, let's say, the different designs, different solutions, etc. So we do that a lot before even presenting to the client for approval the ideas that we have.
Nice. That's great. And I totally agree that reviews mining is pretty underrated. I love doing reviews mining. I often find the challenge with doing it, though, is if I'm working with a smaller client or they're a little earlier on in their maturity, it's hard to find reviews sometimes. So let's say you're in that situation. How would you work with what you have?
Oh, it happens many times that the client themselves they don't have a lot of reviews, but then there are their competition and a competition having their own websites, and there are players selling the same stuff on Amazon. Amazon is the gold mine of this information, right? In fact, even if our client is having a lot of reviews, in spite of that, we don't restrict ourselves to just our clients' reviews. We always and always seek out all the other players on Amazon, on other marketplaces, other websites that the client have given in terms of their competition. We always incorporate those reviews as well for our analysis.
Those are really good tips because Amazon, absolutely, there's always so many reviews that you can pull from there. And I'm usually pretty critical of anything that's promoting, like copying your competitors or focusing on what they're doing instead of what you're doing. But I think that's a really good workaround for low numbers of reviews for your clients because you can still learn from what other competitors are doing well and what they're not doing so well. So your client can kind of differentiate themselves accordingly. I think that's really good. That's a really good tip. And yeah, I mean, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about how to run a more purposeful CRO program for their employer or for their clients?
I think one thing that is very important to revisit again and again is that after the audit, which generally happens in the initial phase of the program itself, almost everybody lays out a roadmap, right? That roadmap should not be set in stone. After you run initial number of tests, you will get a lot of learning, because of which you might have to tweak the roadmap ahead. And this has to be done every time you run a set of tests and seek learnings from them, and either draw iterations of those tests, or those tests itself will give you another idea altogether, which maybe did not come from the audit in the initial phase. So that's what, like, we cannot really freeze our so-called experimentation sprint at any given stage. It always needs to be relooked at, revisited, tweaked, and reprioritization needs to happen time and again.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of experimentation is you're always learning something new, so you always have to recalibrate. So, yeah, why would you have a roadmap set in stone when you might learn something in month number two that completely blows everything out of the water? So that's a really good call out.
The approach is needs to be super, super agile. And also one thing that I've seen is that we cannot really cap the number of experiments exactly, right? Some month, it really depends upon, of course, the seasonality, when the client is going to drive more traffic, etc., etc. But yeah, I mean, whatever optimum is possible for that website, again, needs to be relooked at depending upon the previous month, what the client is planning from there, and it needs to be a super collaborative approach. We always tell our clients that we are not the only people who are going to drive this program. We need your equal participation in driving this program, because whatever they are doing in on the marketing side, on the pre-click side of things, will very well impact our strategy as well. And that's what we need to be aware of and need to be a part of. So we encourage our clients to, involve us in the strategy meetings at their end. If possible, also keep us in loop with their ads team, their email team, etc., so that all of us together are chasing for common goals and are learning better and better.
Totally. And this is why AI is not going to get rid of our jobs. We are going to be okay. I love it. Well, I have the most difficult question of all of them coming up right now. Who should we interview next?
Recently I got connected with a very interesting person called Shwetank Tamer. He's the founder of Kui, and Kui is essentially an AI personalized tool, and I think it is going to be a breakthrough in the CRO space as well, what they are already doing. And I think, yeah, Shwetank could be
Nice.
great. Yeah.
Maybe I'll reach out to him. Yeah. I love it. Well, is there anything else that's going on with you or Blue Bagels that you want our audience to know about?
Ah, yes. One very interesting thing that we are working on is a micro SaaS.
Nice.
So, yes, we are almost done with the MVP. It is about to launch soon. And we are hoping that it will solve the problems of all the e-commerce merchants out there with the problem of easing the product discoverability on the website. So we have seen time and again in our CRO audits that product discoverability is a big issue if the website is selling like many products, right? And that's how we figured out that, okay, this is something where CROs spend in a lot of time. And there are, of course, many solutions, right, from navigation to filters to quizzes and whatnot that we usually adapt. So we have started the navigation touchpoint for the MVP, but we are going to make it more evolved as we move along. So micro SaaS is coming for solving this problem.
I love it. Well, hey, if you need a beta tester or something, just find me because I'd love to try that out. Product discovery is, I think, my favorite part of CRO. So that's awesome that you're creating something to address that.
Yeah. I'll definitely reach out in a few weeks.
Great. Well, if our listeners want to reach out to you or get a hold of you, where can they find you?
LinkedIn, I'm always there. On my website, I'm also there. Then my email ID is pretty simple, jyoti@bluebagels.com. And yeah, anywhere I can be reached out, I'll respond.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jyoti, for being on this episode. I got a lot from it. I'm always learning. I've been doing this for like 3 years now, and I still am learning something new from all of these conversations. So thank you so much. And good luck with your micro SaaS and everything else.
Thank you so much. It was great having myself here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Roma Santiago from Experiment Nation. Every week, we share interviews with and conference sessions by our favorite conversion rate optimizers from around the world. So if you like this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. It helps us a bunch,